I would like to acknowledge the Quandamooka people, the traditional owners of the land on which this podcast was recorded, and pay my respects to their elders past, present, and those emerging. I am fortunate to be able to spend much of my lifestyle outside of the land of the longest living storytellers in the world, and I'm grateful for their ongoing care and connection to the land and the waterways. I do my best to respect the land by treading carefully and acknowledging the beauty when I am working and playing on country. This episode features Kylie Eastman. She's the person behind JT Signs. You'll see Kylie's handiwork all over the Bayside, and if you check out her social media pages, you'll see that her business is extended well beyond the Bayside and all over Brisbane. I've met Kylie through my running, although she's way too fast for my pace, and I was keen to see if she was a born and bred womanite and to find out how she got to be JT Signs. It was really lovely speaking with Kylie. After we stopped recording, Kylie shared with me the story of how the Friday Badass Girls running group came to be. I enjoyed the story so much, Kylie generously came by to record it, and it's been added to the end of the initial interview. Enjoy listening to Kylie. Hi, Kylie, and thanks for being part of the Women of Winner Manly podcast.
Well, thanks for having me.
Always start the podcast with the questions of how did you get, what do you love about the Winner Manly area and how did you get here?
Well, they kind of go hand in hand because I love it because I grew up in a country town in Victoria. We moved, my mum's parents moved to Bribie Island when I was about 11 and we were going through like almost divorce type thing. So mum packed us up and said, we're moving to Queensland. We're getting out of this country town, we're moving to Queensland. And we settled in the suburbs like Runcorn. She had a job over that way and we were like, yeah, we settled in. You know, we're excited, we're in Queensland, yay. And we went off to school and made new friends. And then she was working for a book company that sold to school libraries. So she was a sales rep. So she was driving all over Brisbane. She drove up the hill at Manly to St. John Vianney's, saw the view in front of her and went, this is what I meant when I wanted to move to Queensland. So she went about buying herself a little house in Manly West, and I was devastated because I just made new friends, you know, year nine at high school.
Oh,
and I was
like, you're 14.
She said, are we moving again? And she was, and I was like,
how could you do this to me?
Don't do this. This is so cruel. Yeah, but it's the best thing she ever did. Yeah, because we settled in quite quickly, made friends. And
so we, how many were?
My brother and sister and mum and I. Yeah. And, we have been, well, I've been here ever since. They've all moved on.
Never left.
And my sister at the Sunny Coast and my brother's back where we grew up in Victoria. And, I've stayed here and I just love the community feel about the area. It's like being in a country town. You know, my kids go to school and they go, oh, my friend's name's Baba, and I go, oh, I went to school with his dad. You know, it's just that connection to which, you know, we didn't have when we first moved here. When I was a high school student, didn't have that at all. But you know, the longer I've lived here and worked here, I just feel like I'm just part of, it's just who I am. I don't even kind of feel like I've ever been anywhere else.
So high school here, most of high school here from year nine on.
Year nine, 10, 11. Then I left at the end of year 11 actually because I got an apprenticeship as a sign writer.
Okay.
Because I was kind of losing interest in school pretty quick and liked art and stuff and got offered that job. So I took it and,
Was that an unusual?
Very.
That's not very something male dominated industry. That's what I was thinking.
The first time I went to TAFE to do my block, I was really petrified thinking I'm going to be the only girl, and I got there and I was the only girl. But
and
the guy
year,
that I worked...
What year was that, do you mind?
1990.
Okay. So it was a little while ago.
It would have been over 30 years ago. So there was... And it was mostly paint and brushes and getting up trestles to paint shop fronts. And so there was, you know, there was boy stuff about it, and I was always dirty. My friends all went and did hairdressing apprenticeships, and we go out on the weekend and I blew paint under my nails, and they were all looking pretty. And, so it was hard work.
Yeah. What was the appeal?
Just the creativity, I think. Mm. Yeah. So it's always something different, and you're making, you know, things look pretty, and making new things for people. And it was before computers, so it was the skill of learning to use a brush form letters with a brush, which the guy that I worked for was chucking me in the deep end, basically went, here's a brush, here's some paper, go practice letters on it. And I got pretty good pretty quickly because it was a small business and I needed to be able to help out. So
yeah,
by the time I got to college, I was running rings around most of the boys because they'd all been sweeping floors and painting backgrounds and their brushes were brand new and mine were all covered in paint and, yeah, ready to go. So
How long's the apprenticeship for?
4 years. Yeah. Well, I don't think it's an apprenticeship anymore because there is no such trade as sign writing, really. It's all digital printing, computerized. It's more like graphic design and hit the print button.
Mm.
So, but every now and then I get to do a painted job, which I love because it's a real skill and it's like riding a bike. You just, once you pick up your brush and dip it in paint, it's like, oh, I'm back.
So you've got JT signed your own business. So how did you go from post apprenticeship to being where you are?
I stayed there till I had my first son. So when I was 24, I left to have Jackson and didn't really have a plan after that. I was a stay-at-home mum for a bit and then people would see me in the street and ask where I was and like, oh my God, you've left the business. Like, there's no one there to get them. So what are you doing? And I said, well, not much. And they said, oh, can you do a job for me on, you know, my boat or whatever? And so I started picking up little small jobs and bits of work. And then another guy who I knew in the industry asked if I'd be interested in doing a couple of days a week. So that was when Jackson was sort of old enough to go to daycare. So I did 2 days a week for him for quite a few years when the kids were little. And doing bits and pieces for myself on the side. And then as the kids got older, I got more and more work and then just couldn't fit in the 2 days a week for him. So just went full time on my own, probably 2010, maybe.
Oh, okay, so a while ago now.
So, so 20 years I've been working for myself or more.
Yeah.
And most of my work is local. Local. It's really good support for small business, this area. Like, it's again that community support. It's like, if you can get someone that you know who knows someone to do it, why would you go get a big random company? You know, so it's good.
Yeah,
it's
you do see your stuff all over the place when you drive around.
You know, you've been here a while and it's getting faded and needs replacing too. But one of my favourite jobs, which was a brushwork job, is the logo in Cambridge Lane Coffee Shop. The big logo on their brick wall. He asked me, could I design him a logo and paint it on the brick wall? So, because that's there forever. You know, every time you get a coffee, you go, there's my work.
Yeah.
And he was out there when I was drawing it on there and going, so is it going to be neat? And I said, yes.
Get there.
How are you going to get it neat? I said, don't worry, you go make me a copy and I'll do the sign. And yeah, he was rapt. He came out and said, I can't believe it's so neat. I was like, well, that's what I do. It's got to be neat.
So how did you adapt to the change between doing it, the painting?
And
did
the digital side
Yeah,
of it,
did you
yeah.
have to do your own retraining? Or how did
I'm
that
pretty
work?
Much self-taught when it comes to the computer. So before I left where I was working, before I had kids, computers were coming into it and it was vinyl cut lettering and that sort of thing. And then it became digital printing as well. So, I've just basically learnt that along the way from colleagues in the industry and self-taught. So it's been a transition, but it's just the way it is.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, most jobs it's not viable to do it in paint anymore. You know, like to go and do a paint name on a boat, you've usually got to give it 2 coats. You know, you sit there.
Time.
One coat, come back tomorrow when it's dry, do another coat. Now you can cut it out of vinyl and stick it on and it's done.
Yeah.
But, you know, painting on a brick wall, there's still times when it comes back and it's really, really fun to do because there's not a lot of people that can do it anymore. So the digital side of it is great, as in speed. You can get so much more done, but it's a shame. It's a dying art.
So you still get to use your creativity.
Yeah, you still do designing. Use it in designing.
It's your designing.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
And I get a lot of female clients too because there's not a lot of females still in the sign industry. So, you know, beauticians and hairdressers and just people who want a bit of female touch, I suppose.
Through that lens.
Yeah, I'll spend a little bit more time getting the right shade of pink, whereas sometimes men are like, it's pink. Pink. I want it a little bit lighter. So it's good to have that bit of a niche in the market.
So what have you seen, apart from the obviously the technology, over that period of time, what else has changed and what's it been like for you being in that industry?
I guess there is probably more women in the industry because it's not so much you know, dirty paint labor and that sort of thing. Yeah. Mm. I mean, you still have to install big signs, but I just outsource that to an install guy because they've got all the lift equipment. You know, when it's just me, the fact that it's only me, I kind of got to do the quoting, designing, production. Mm. So, yeah, I leave that to them. But, yeah, it's definitely become more accessible, I guess, to female.
Yeah.
And you haven't ever wanted to expand or be bigger than just
no,
you?
No, I don't actually. I get so busy sometimes that I have to make people wait, unfortunately. Mm. You know, I just can't physically do the amount of work that I get sometimes. But, you know, people say to me, why don't you put some staff on? But I just, I guess my husband would say I was a control freak, but I like to, I've worked in big companies where I've been the end line where I'm out putting signs on windows and stuff and there's a mistake because it's been a big, the sales rep has measured it, the designer has designed it, someone else has made it and I go to stick it on and it's wrong because it's gone through three, four or five people, whereas because it's just me and I get so much work from referrals that I need to know it's done as well. And so I can, yeah, I'm the one who goes to see the client, measures it, quotes it, produces it, installs it. There's no room for error except for me and I've got no one to blame but myself. Yeah, and if there's an error, I like keeping it like that. And because I work from home too, it means if I need to, especially when the kids are younger, if I wanted to go and watch swimming carnival for an hour, or you know, I just could just walk out the door and do that. I had the flexibility to be mum on call if I needed to be as well as work.
So. Before flexibility was such a big
thing. That's it. I was the original stay at home, work from home. I've been doing it my whole life and now everyone's going, oh, work from home's great. And I'm like, I know. You have to be disciplined though, you know, like I go downstairs into my office and I'm at work and I don't go upstairs unless it's to pull a bit of meat out of the freezer or make some lunch. I just, when I'm at work even though it's at home.
So what was it like going back to childhood? What was it like growing up in country Victoria?
Oh, well, it was all I knew at the time, but I loved it. My grandparents were there. They had farmland in a country town, so we always had cows, calves, you know, hand-feeding calves whose mothers had not made it. Or, you know, we always had farm life, even though we weren't living on a farm ourselves. But, I think there was 100 kids at the school, everyone knew everyone and it was just freedom. You just spent your weekends, you know, feeding cows hay and running around the paddocks and picking fruit that's in abundance, you know, picking peaches off the peach tree. It was a good. Yeah. I think we were lucky because it was great for, say, primary school age, and then we moved to the city, as we called it, when I was a teenager, which was kind of ideal because, you know, you had all the
more options,
accessibility to everything. I think growing up as a teenager in a country town would be a lot more difficult. And I still, you know, we've always taken the kids back there to visit when they were young and, back to the farm, and they used to drive the tractor around with my pop and,
And your brother went back there?
Yeah, he's actually got a farm, like neighbouring farm to where my grandparents' farm was. So he lived overseas working in the Navy for several years, so he's sort of done a whole other side of it and then went back.
Just done a full circle. So how else do you spend your time? Like, obviously the business keeps you pretty busy.
Yeah, it keeps me busy generally.
Yeah,
well, as you know, I'm a 5 a.m. runner most mornings, runner or swimmer or sunrise junkie. but that's only been the last 10 years or so.
How did you get into that?
When I was turning 40, I decided I just wanted to be able to run 5Ks.
Yeah.
So I did the Couch to 5K app and taught myself how to run 5Ks.
So you hadn't done any?
Not running. I'd always been fit and healthy and done gym and walked a lot, walked the dog all the time, I've never been a runner. And yeah, I just decided I really needed to be able to run 5Ks, and so I thought that's a good goal to have by the time you're 40.
Yeah.
And then went to parkrun a couple of times. I went to parkrun thinking I can run 5Ks now. I'm going to try this parkrun. And, you know, they give you your time. It's like, oh, wow. And then you go the next week and you go, I might try and beat my time. Go a little bit quicker. And then I, you know, bumped into people I'd been to school with and that still lived in the area, and into them. And then, then they started saying, oh, you should run with us on a Tuesday. And I was like, oh, maybe if I ran during the week, I'd get faster on parkrun times. So, started running with a few people and did my first half marathon at the twilight that used to be down here in the afternoons.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's just, that's nearly 10 years ago.
Oh,
and
wow.
It's been, changed my life. I think I found a whole new tribe of people that, and that's gradually grown over the years and you know, through BSB run group and park run and marathon training. And, you know, you just spend a lot of time with people that are doing what you're doing. And,
You're like-minded.
Yeah, and everyone's so positive and healthy and just, and 5 a.m.'s my thing. Yeah, I finally got my kids to sleep in, and now I'm getting
you
up.
You set the alarm.
They're still asleep when I get home. Yeah, it just sets me up for the day. I just find I'm just energized for the day by doing that.
Yeah,
just watching. You know, the fact that we live along near the waterfront, I just make sure I'm there every morning. Yeah. And if I'm not, I'll go for a drive to get a coffee along that way. Go the long way because it's you pay to live here. So
you may
as well
see
it. Someone who said, "Oh, I haven't been down there for months," and I was like, "Are you kidding me? What are you doing?" Thing. I feel like I need to be near the edge. Like the water's near the edge to me. I could never live in the outback. I feel like I couldn't go back. Yeah, I feel claustrophobic if I'm not near the water.
It's funny because I remember saying to Neil when we first moved here, I said that will never be lost on me, that waterfront.
Yeah, no,
because
it
was the same
people
who live near the beach or live near the water and never see it.
Yeah.
It's certainly not wasted.
And I think how grateful that we've got those paths to run along. We don't have to go around the suburbs and stop at lights and dodgy footpaths and it's well lit. Yeah, if you're starting early on your own, there's always other people out and about even before the sun's up.
Yeah.
So you're never unsafe or alone. Not that I'm ever alone. We're usually running
with someone else. So your boys are all grown up now.
Yeah, youngest one's 19.
So how's life changed since not having kids at school?
Yeah, that's a big change. Just freedom to work more, I guess. Okay, I can drop everything and do school, drop off and pick up.
No more spending carnivals.
No, that's right. It just means I can be more productive. It's a whole different world, parenting adults that live at home.
Yeah.
Although our second one's just moved out, so we've only got one left at home now. So that's another whole thing to get used to. It's suddenly like quite an empty house after having a house full of three boys for forever. I guess it's different. You have more freedom. You can do whatever. They don't really need you. But it's also hard parenting adults who live at home because they think they're adults, but they're still in your home making a mess and don't like to be told to clean it up. They're all, it's just that next phase of life. It's kind of hard to get your head around for a little while because you've been mum, school drop off, that's been your whole, you know, sports on the weekend. It's just been a hectic, busy life, and then all of a sudden, well, it feels like all of a sudden.
Were they all sporty and active as well?
Yeah, they were all active. There was always school sport on the weekends and trying to juggle how two of us are going to get to three different time slots and sometimes one of us getting to three different time slots, and that's when you rely on community and friends. And it was busy, busy times, but you kind of miss it once it's gone.
As much
as at the time you think you wish you weren't doing it, once it's finished you go, oh, that was actually quite good.
Yeah, it was quite nice.
So adjusting to the next phase of life now where we can do whatever we want.
You don't have to really be answerable to anyone else for weekends.
We can take off for a week and they can, you know, once they've all got cars and jobs, then they can, they need groceries. They're like, oh, there's nothing in the fridge. I go, you got a car. Go to Woolies.
You know where Woolies is.
Go to Woolies and get something. And they don't. They go to Guzma or something. that's that age group though.
So do you think, apart from work, what else do you think will have you got holidays or things that you'll do differently now that
I think we've got a different try and do a bit more travel. It's maybe some overseas marathons and trips. But no set goals at this stage.
Because you did the New York, was it 2018? You did New York Marathon?
Yeah, that was Gav's 50th year that year. So that was a great trip. Then we were set to do Boston in 2020, but that, like, literally weeks before we went to go, that all came undone, so we haven't got back there yet. it was all booked and paid for and ready to start getting on.
And all the training done.
That's it.
Yeah.
Training through the hot summer and then, you don't need it. it was pretty hard to get our head around at the time and pretty disappointing, but, here we are, nearly 4 years, 3 years down the track and yeah, things are finally getting back to normal.
Yeah, and they were before.
Yeah.
Still feels a bit weird thinking of it in just in the sense of time, doesn't it? The 3 years.
Yeah, it's gone blurred. So fast. Yeah, it's blurred. Like, you feel like you've just written those years.
Yeah. Off. Was it 20? Was it 21?
Yeah. 2 years ago, 3 years ago. Yeah, it's pretty.
So how did that period affect the business? I mean,
I was actually pretty lucky. Yeah, I was really lucky. I had maybe 2 or 3 weeks where it went really quiet. And, then it just kept going because I think businesses, well, at the time they needed lots of COVID signage. It was like, oh, we need floor stickers to say don't stand here or stand there. A lot of people that were adapting their businesses, like a restaurant at New Farm suddenly was going to do takeaway coffees because people could do that. They couldn't have sit-down meals, but you could come and grab a coffee. Mm. So a lot of we need a sign to do this because now we're going to do this because people were just suddenly going that way instead of that way because it was survival of how do we make money without breaking the rules. I actually found I was quite all right. It didn't really slow down at all for me, which was pretty lucky.
It's interesting when you say there was a couple of weeks. I think Amy, who I spoke to for the podcast a little while ago, said the same thing. It's almost like everyone just froze,
not knowing.
It was like, we don't know where this is going, so we'll just do nothing. Yeah, it was businesses just went, it was paralyzing. Yeah. It really was paralyzing for people. Went,
well, we have to keep going. And people, it's amazing how people can adapt when they need to, and suddenly change their business to another tack that would help them be able to survive that time. But it was pretty shocking. I remember when it came on the news that night saying, restaurants, gyms, pubs, clubs, everything's closing for 6 months, and I was like, 6 months? I thought this would be gone in a few weeks.
Yeah.
6 months. But thankfully we were still allowed to exercise, even though it was only with one other person. Our Friday run group, that's usually anything from 10 to 15 of us, suddenly went, okay, there can only be 2 of us. So we actually had a teapot. Every Thursday the names would go in a teapot and Lois would draw out 2 and she'd go, okay, these 2 are running together today and these 2. So it was actually really cool.
That's lovely.
We'd get one-on-one with one other person and it might be someone that you didn't really know that well or didn't run with.
You didn't have to pick favourites.
No, it was it wasn't like, okay, well, it's just us 2. It was like a random draw every week for that period of time when we were only allowed to have one other friend.
That's gorgeous.
Yeah, and then we'd still get our coffee, but we'd kind of stand in, apart when you had to.
You're 1.5 metres.
Yeah. So there's always a positive in those things.
Yeah, that's lovely.
And we found the waterfront was so crazy busy with all the gyms being closed. It was like,
where did all these people come from is what I asked.
Yeah, we were like, we were here first. But we'd actually go finding other paths, like we ran through the bush on Chelsea Road and just places off the beaten track just to get away from all the crowds. So, it was actually nice because we found different places instead of the waterfront.
We were the same. We always said, where did all those children come from with bikes? Yeah. Little children with bikes. It was suddenly everyone came from.
Yeah. Well, the bike shops were the ones that did
they sold
well.
Out, didn't they?
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. Yeah, you couldn't get a bike anyway. And then caravans once we're allowed to travel internally again.
Yeah,
you just adapt, don't you?
Yeah, we did.
You did. You have to get your fix of what you need, so you just find another way.
Yeah, find a way around it. It was an interesting time to reflect back on. When you're in it, it's different. But afterwards, you can think back to say
what you learned. I remember at the time thinking, we're going to look back and go, oh, that was crazy.
Yeah.
It was hard to believe we'd ever have normal again.
Yeah, it
pretty much is.
Feels like we are now.
Pretty much. Even with the long-term adaptions, like working from home, a lot of people seem to be doing that.
Which is good. Yeah, it was a good win for everyone.
Well, it makes you realise that you can be productive without being in the office.
So what events have you got coming up that you're training for now?
Just the 70.3 triathlon.
There's no just in front
September,
of that.
Sorry. I mean, that's the only one I've got planned at the moment. That's my main goal for the year. Yeah, maybe a marathon because I'm turning 50 this year, so I feel like I should do a marathon as well. But the girls this morning were saying, you don't have to do a marathon. It's just hard to train for both because you need extra bike training for the try. Yeah. And, that doesn't leave room for long runs as well. So.
Yeah. When's that one? What, September?
September.
Whereabouts is that one?
We're at Mooloolaba.
Oh, Mooloolaba.
Yeah. So I did that one last year for the first time. It's a really good event, really, really great place. And beautiful swim in the Mooloolaba.
Yeah, it is great. That swim's great.
It's nice.
Yeah.
And it's local and easy to get to. A lot of the 17.3s are interstate, so.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
Yeah, so that's the main goal. I'm heading to Uluru for 4 nights for my to celebrate my birthday.
Oh, your birthday. So, yeah. Just the two of you? Yeah. Just the two of us. What are you going to do there?
Everything.
Yeah.
Hiking and just sightseeing, camel rides.
That'll be amazing.
Oh, can't wait.
How did you come up with Uluru as your place to go?
We always holiday near the beach. I'm an ocean lover, so I thought it'd be nice to do something different. The few people that I've seen go there recently, friends, and I've spoken to them, and they just said it's just one of those things you just have to do.
Yeah.
It's beautiful.
Yeah, the photos always look amazing.
Something so different. Something I've never really experienced before, that outback.
Mm.
Yeah, the photos look beautiful.
Photos. You'll have to get some nice sunset ones, aren't they?
So something totally different. Yeah, without everyone seems to go for 4 nights, and that's what you need to do to see everything. So, it's hard when you work for yourself to take too much time away. But, that's something that we can sort of duck out and do something different.
So a big year for celebrating.
And so like our school year, obviously all those friends are turning 50.
All turning 50,
There'll be 50s going on all over the place. so we don't need a reunion. We'll just catch up at 50s.
And you've still got a few of them around?
Yeah, there's quite a few that live locally.
I
think, Wynnum tends to be that sort of place.
Yeah. When I first moved here, I was quite surprised by that, the number of people that have been here for a long time or left and then came back. When they had children, they come back.
Come back to bring their kids out.
Yeah,
it's that kind of spot.
So 2023 is a big year.
Yeah. a bit of a milestone year. Yeah, I don't feel like I'm ready to be 50, but it's just a number, right?
Yeah, you can't change it. It really is. Yeah.
And I kind of felt like that at 40, and I still think that my 40s have been some of the best years of my life. I've been fitter and healthier than I've ever been. So
with wisdom that you didn't have when you were younger. That's what I always say. I thought the 40, I think the same.
So bring on 50.
Yeah, you give less shits, I think, when you're 40 about what other people think.
Yeah, you've run out of them, right? You have less of you.
So you're much more comfortable in your own skin to just do what you want to do.
Yeah.
So I'm a little bit into my 50s, and I think I haven't found it any worse than the 40s, so I haven't gone downhill suddenly.
It's good to know.
still keep active and keep moving.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, thanks, Kylie. It's been lovely getting to know you a little bit better.
Thank you for having me. Yeah. It's been lovely to chat.
Great. So, Kylie, you run on a Friday morning with a whole heap of women who all wear black.
And pink.
And pink, yes, it's sort of pink. So how did that all start?
That was kind of accidental. So I, through Parkrun, I met Giovanna, re-met Giovanna. We went to high school together, hung around the same bunch of friends. We were a couple of years apart. Hadn't seen her probably since high school, and we bumped into each other at Parkrun and caught up and had a chat, and then she said, oh, we should go for a run sometime, and I said, I'm free Friday, so we ran Friday, and then we said, we should do it again next Friday, and then it just became a thing, and then Liz started to join us. Giovanna said, I've asked Liz to come along, and I said, oh great, you know, there's three of us, and then it just kind of escalated from there. Next minute, someone else would jump in and join us, and then we'd sit there and have a coffee afterwards and see a couple of ladies running past and go, oh, we should ask them to come and have a bath. They're running at the same time.
Anyone who runs Friday?
So then it sort of just became a bit of a Friday thing. We'd meet at one spot and all just run, and then we started one school holidays. A couple of us had a bit of extra time. We said, oh, we should grab a coffee afterwards, and then... And then that just became a regular thing, and it was like we were running because of the coffee. Now I think we've changed locations a couple of times, chased the good coffee, and now it's just a thing. It happens every, we don't have to schedule it. It's just 5 o'clock every Friday morning.
People know where to go.
We meet at Wynnum Creek and run to Loder and back, and then walk across the river to Frankie's and have our coffee, and it's become more like the coffee afterwards is the fun bit. And sometimes there's 15 or even more of us, I think.
Yeah.
It's more than just coffee, though. It's like bring a book to share, bring lemons. Someone's got a lemon tree. I've got a bunch of lemons. Who's read this book? Oh, these shorts don't fit me. Would you like them? So it's just a real good support group, you know, like you can offload all your troubles of the week and then we do social things as well, Christmas, birthdays, milestone birthdays, we always make a big deal of if it's a 40th or a 50th.
Okay, we
have a little secret chip in and buy something special so it's just a really good bunch of women who support each other and it's like therapy, Friday therapy session.
Everyone knows Fridays, they can hang out for Friday and there'll be a group.
Yeah, I feel sorry for some of the people who maybe live right on the waterfront here. We run past like a bunch of chooks sometimes, catching up with each other and what's going on with the week.
Giggling on the corner.
Yeah. Yep, here they come.
And so what happened in... during COVID, when people weren't allowed to run together,
that was a bit devastating, but we very quickly found a way around that. Yep. Lois had a teapot, so she decided she would write everyone's name on a piece of paper, put it in the teapot on a Thursday night, draw two names out, and that was your running partner for the week. So it changed every week. We're only allowed to run with one other person. Each week we'd get told that's your person for the week. And it was really good because it just made it a bit of fun, and we still would get a coffee afterwards and just, you know, stand well apart from each other in the park drink our coffee. And we had a massive picnic on the Friday that we were first all allowed to run together again.
Aww.
It was really a big deal. We all bought a plate of food and a massive picnic in the park because it was just made you realize it's made me sound emotional. Aww. But it made you realize how much you miss that when you can't have it.
Yeah, when it's not there all the time.
Yeah, have it taken away from you, those things.
When it's your every Friday
morning.
Taken
for granted, but suddenly we're really special.
Yeah. Oh, lovely.
Yeah, so we got through that and pushed on.
And you said there's about 15 of you. Is there...
Yeah, I think there's maybe more now. There's maybe 18, if everyone sort of comes, you know, some weeks people can't make it, but... there's a regular bunch of us, and every now and then another one pops in. We have a new face in the group.
Yeah.
We just had our first baby born in the group, so that's pretty exciting. So we'll have a pram coming along soon when she's back with us. Yeah, so.
That baby won't be very well liked, will it?
Won't have any
all these women.
At all. And it's kind of funny because we call ourselves the Badass Friday group, and there's nothing badass about any of us. But there was some meme that we saw one time about saying something about, I love how badass I'm going to be after I've had my first cup of coffee or something like that. So that was like, we kind of thought, that's us, a cup of coffee. So, we're the Badass Friday crew, but there's nothing bad about any of us. It's kind of like a Breakfast Club type thing, you know, that movie
where all these
people are just thrown together from all different walks of life and you've all got something in common and it's just a bond. And
just works. Yeah. Just works. And you do great photos as well.
And that was the other thing I was going to mention, the sunrise photo is the thing. Yeah. It's all about the photo, so And the jetty, that's our place of worship, the jetty. We have to run out the end of the jetty at the end of the run, and depending on the weather, get the photo. Sometimes it's a jump photo, sometimes it's a Chaz, who's one of our resident male runners who pops along, he's great with the camera. He joins us quite often and takes some good photos for us too.
So
we've ended up at the end of the year now for Christmas, we make a calendar out of all the photos.
Oh,
and
do
it's
you?
A Christmas gift. Yeah.
Oh, beautiful. Because they're spectacular photos. Some of them are amazing.
As we're taking them throughout the year, it's like, whoop, that's one for the calendar.
The Badass Girls have become.
Memories, And
Kylie has got a jumper on with Friday We Run for Coffee.
Yes, that's my Friday.
Designed by Kylie, I'm sure.
Uniform.
Yeah, it's lovely.
Yeah.
Oh, thank you. It's a really nice story. It's a nice story of all the local women coming together and supporting each other.
Very lucky.
Yeah. Thank you. Thanks, Kylie.